Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and now stay tuned for Air Cascadia.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor What the Festival at the Wolf Run Ranch, about 90 miles east of Portland from June 16th to 19th. What the Festival is a weekend of interactive art, 8 stages of electronic and live music, speaker series, movement classes, and more. This year, performers include Zoo, Cut Copy, Grammatic, OTT, Big Wild, Rez, Sophie Tucker, Baker Matt, Paper Diamond, The Funk Hunters, and many more. Again, that's What the Festival, happening at the Wolf Run Ranch from June 16th to 19th. More information about What the Festival can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor What the Festival at the Wolf Run Ranch, about 90 miles east of Portland from June 16th to 19th. What the Festival is a weekend of interactive art, 8 stages of electronic and live music, speaker series, movement classes, and more. This year, performers include Zoo, Cut Copy, Grammatic, OTT, Big Wild, Rez, Sophie Tucker, Baker Matt, Paper Diamond, The Funk Hunters, and many more. Again, that's What the Festival, happening at the Wolf Run Ranch from June 16th to 19th. More information about What the Festival can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Monday, April 24th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, and today, and very likely in everyone's future, your public banking radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. Today's weather, and for tomorrow as well, overnight rain and lows around 47. Rain before noon, excuse me, that was our overnight outlook. Today, rain before noon and tapering off, highs around 57. And we've got a little bit of a light southeast wind. For tonight, it's 50-50, rain showers before midnight, and a low around 47. Tomorrow, rain mostly afternoon, highs again near 57. Amazingly consistent, isn't it? It's a chance of rain is pretty much according to the National Weather Service's percentages. It's pretty much absolutely guaranteed to be a wet one. And tomorrow night, lows around 48, rain continuing, not much in the way of wind. That's it for the weather. And out of the Southern White House continues to barge ahead. Once again, the GOP is on the path to tanking the government, as is their wont. We'll see where that happens. It's the wall, of course, that stands in the way of sanity once again. We'll see how that works out. Now that the Republicans have got themselves backed into a corner on the wall, and they're still trying to pass something resembling a budget, and they are thinking about their future, they are thinking about elections, and they are thinking about what's going to be nailed up on their doors in the coming years. The wall thing looked great in the past. It looks wonderful in the rearview mirror. but not so great through the windshield. So waiting to see how badly they manage this next piece of passes for government these days. We have today on the subject of budget money and ways to make things work for everyone's benefit. Mark Armstrong joins us. If you've been keeping up with West Coast news, perhaps cannabis news, and indeed banking news, that name is going to ring a bell. Mark Armstrong, former executive director of the Public Banking Institute, saw an opportunity to market public banks to cannabis businesses during the run-up to California's passage of Proposition 64 just this past November. 64 legalized recreational use of marijuana. Mark argues that Oakland is a prime candidate for a public bank because it's a charter city awash in cannabis money. And many cities, Portland too. Portland is ground zero. There was a long profile in the New Yorker recently that featured Oregon and Portland's movers in the world of cannabis. It's not people pottering about with bits of seeds and pieces of unpleasant stuff and making terrible smells and whatnot, and in a secretive manner. This is serious now, and there is a tremendous amount of money floating around, and that is what is both a problem and a solution for many cities that may be tapped for funds to pass their budgets. Mark joins us, and now thanks for being patient and waiting on the line for a moment. Thank you very much for being with us. We're delighted to welcome you to the KBOO airwaves.
Glad to be here, Chris. Thanks for having me.
I came across an article on the weekend about public banking and Oakland and indeed the Bay Area, and how public banks are serving an enormous need, an enormous market. And of course, this sets, if this can work well for the cannabis industry, where there's a tremendous amount of money and no place for it to go, as far as banking is concerned, then it makes me think of all the other problematic budget situations in other communities around the country where public banking would solve a lot of problems. It's the obvious way to make banking work for people, for its customers and clients, and rather than against the customers and clients by tapping them out and shipping their money off to D.C., where it will be horrendously mismanaged, building walls between the U.S. and Mexico. That said, can you tell us briefly first about a little bit about what public banking is for those who are not familiar with it?
Sure. And it's really important to delineate between credit and money. What's interesting is 97% of our quote unquote money supply is the issuance of credit. It's the way money gets into circulation. The banks make commercial loans or other types of loans, and that is written into their books. It is simply written into their books as a deposit as well as a loan that counterbalances it. And so what's really fascinating is that's the money supply, by and large, in our country. And so, you know, we have treasurers throughout our country, whether state treasurers or county or city treasurers, have taxes that we all pay. And that money has to be deposited in a bank. And in 49 of the 50 states, what happens is the state treasurer takes that money and places it into a Wall Street bank, who then provides cash management services. And then, as you indicated, that money is on the balance sheet of that bank, wherever it may be, and the credit that comes from that is used anywhere in the world that the bank deems it wants to invest. And what we're suggesting is that states and cities do the same thing that they do in North Dakota, which is the state treasurer takes the tax receipts, puts it into their own state bank, and this is replicatable in all 50 states, but puts it into their own state bank, and then the credit is used to fund things, you know, whether it's funding IT infrastructure within hospitals, or just more general housing infrastructure, or all sorts of different programs throughout the state, as well as low-cost commercial loans. That's all funded with credit that comes from those deposits, those public monies that are put on deposit into a public bank. So when we talk about cannabis, we're talking about something slightly different, because what's happened is private banks, because of tremendous uncertainty with the federal government and the fact that cannabis is scheduled as a Schedule I drug, They are reluctant, and some are adamant about not providing banking services to this state legitimate industry. So in Oregon and Washington, California, Nevada, lots of others now, recreational cannabis is legitimate, and yet banks are refusing to provide banking services to these legitimate businesses. And what we're suggesting is that the state just step up to the plate and create a public bank, whether it be in California or in Oregon elsewhere. And because it's 100% owned by the state, something magical happens when that money is placed on deposit in that bank, and that is that, you know, it's protected by the U.S. Constitution. You know, the 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution states essentially that anything not identified as being within the purview of the federal government is within the purview of the states. And so, that sort of, offering that could be provided by the state to its citizens in order to ensure public safety, could be done with a public bank. And then all of a sudden the federal regulations, they still may apply, but the conversation is different because you've got a state providing this service as opposed to a private industry or a private bank.
And that so does
I hope
make
I summarized it.
Yes.
I hope I summarized it well enough.
No, that does make sense. Absolutely. And so there's a lot happening actually now in Oakland. The point being, I believe, and I want to ask about this, is once a public bank opens, it's say in Oakland, a regional network could follow, and that would serve as a template for example, for Colorado's. And wow, the numbers are incredible: $2.4 billion cannabis economy, and the $1 billion+ economies of Washington, Nevada, and Oregon. Can you talk a little bit about how that regional network would come into being? Is this how actually doable is this?
Yeah. So the numbers you just identified are somewhat small. You know, when we talk about recreational marijuana or recreational cannabis, the numbers are going to be much greater by a significant factor over the next few years, especially in California. And so the question then is, well, how do you collect taxes from legitimate businesses that are doing, you know, much of their many of their transactions, their product transactions, using cash? And, you know, a lot of counties and cities and states are recognizing that money is being left on the table because tax revenue is being left on the table because a lot of that is underreported or unreported. And so if people could pay for cannabis products using a credit card or a debit card, using these existing online payment services that are legitimate, then what can happen is a much more robust tracking of this revenue can occur, and taxes will go up incrementally as because it's such open and transparent industry. You know, we don't want to drive it underground the way it is right now. And so to have it be open and above board, you've got to have banking accounts for the cannabis businesses that are providing products and services. So that there's essentially a paper trail that occurs, or an audit trail that occurs.
So this is an incredible, this would be, of course, something that could be used in other ways as well, and would in many respects save us from some of what the Trump administration might have in mind. I want to thank you so much. We're out of time for today. We'd like very much to have you back on the show. My guest has been Mark Armstrong, and he working in of course public banking, and insofar as it is being implemented in the Bay Area right now in the cannabis industry. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, April 24th, 2017. Engineering for us today is Patsy. Thanks very much. Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.